Well, welcome to CPC. How are you guys doing today? Good, good. My name is Jeremiah. I'm one of the pastors here at CPC, and I want to welcome you. I'm really glad you're here today. Welcome to those of you joining us on Facebook Live, those of you also worshiping with us in from the family room. We're really glad you are here today. Well, today we're closing out our Life Together, the Power of Community series, and Pastor Tyler taught the first 3 weeks of the series. They were awesome. If you missed any of the messages that he taught, you got to go online, cpcdanville.org, and check them out. They're really powerful. You definitely need to catch them. Week one, he was talking about some of the barriers and the benefits of getting connected in community. Then week two, he was making an argument and encouraging us that we are better when we are together. And then week three, he kind of had three ways that will help us thrive in community. Number one, he said, be humble. Actually, number one was be selfless. Number two, be humble. And then he said, be a servant. So go and check out those messages. They're really good. Today, we're going to close the series. The title of the message is The Gift That Keeps On Giving. Have you ever heard that phrase? I believe community is actually the gift that keeps on giving. Now, I was thinking, gosh, the last time I heard that phrase was kind of close to the holidays, and it was someone sort of using it on a commercial to promote their product. So I Google searched it, the gift that keeps on giving, origins of the phrase. And I figured out that over 100 years ago, this company, the Victor Talking Machine Company, that's the name, the Victor Talking Machine Company, coined this slogan as a marketing pitch. And it was about, they were selling phonographs, and they said, hey, if you buy our phonograph, it is the gift that keeps on giving, because every time the person you give that phonograph to plays something on that phonograph, they will remember that you gave it to them. So it is the gift that keeps on giving. Now you ask, why do I say community is the gift that keeps on giving? I would say this. God does his best work in the life of every person through community. He does his best work in the life of every person through community. But here's the deal. When you take one small step into community, there's a ripple effect that happens. And it is the gift, not just in your life, but in other people's lives as well, because community is the gift that keeps on giving. Our big idea for today, and you should definitely write this down so you don't miss it. Our big idea is God does his best work when we step into community. God does his best work when we step into community. I was thinking, how do I illustrate this idea of community? And the picture that kept coming back to my mind was high school. Now, some of you are in high school or you just graduated high school, so this illustration will really resonate with you. The rest of us, we've been out of high school for a while. Some of us a little while longer than others, right? But I was thinking about high school. Do you remember what the athletes did when you were in high school? They kind of came together and formed a little community, and then the band sort of came together and formed a little community, and then the theater arts department, the students came together and they formed a little community, because that's what we do, is we sort of, our interests intersect with things we have in common, and that's how we form these communities. I was thinking, even those who consider themselves sort of anti-establishment, right? The people who we are against this idea of the establishment, they form their own community, because even to reject a community is to actually form a community that rejects community. So even in your effort to say, I'm against that establishment, you become part of that establishment. Isn't that interesting? Because you cannot deny the imprint of God on every person's soul that desperately needs some form of community in their life. God does his best work when we step into community. From the very beginning, I believe we can trace the roots of this idea of community in Scripture. In fact, if you go back to the very first chapter in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says this, then God said, let, you say it? No, come on now. 9 o'clock service, way more powerful, I'm just going to tell you. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Notice what God did there. This is God talking, and he said, let us, a communal word, a community word, make mankind in our, a word depicting community of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, in our likeness. So a communal God says, let's make humanity, humankind, in our likeness. So if God is communal by nature from the very beginning, and he says, let's make them in our likeness, then we also are communal beings created by a communal God to be in community with other communal beings from the very beginning. In fact, then, you know, sort of the rest of chapter one, then chapter two, God forms Adam, the first man, from the dust of the ground, scripture says, and then he breathes the breath of life, which that's cool, right? Breath of life into the man's nostrils, and he becomes a living soul. Then you pick up the story kind of in Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 18. It says, the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. And I thought, why is it not good for the man to be alone? Because a communal God created the first man to be in community from the beginning. His idea, his nature, his character was that of community. He said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Now, I'm just going to say this, okay? Some of you are going to want to run me out of town or out of this community for saying it, but I'm still going to say it. No. Dogs are not a suitable substitute for community with human beings. Hey, I'm just relaying what the Word of God says. Got it? And don't email me. But if you have to, my email address is tylerscott@cpcdanville.org. If you don't get that joke, that's good. So here's the thing. You might be asking, okay, so if God created us for all this community, communal God, communal people, and community with each other, why then can it feel so awkward sometimes to take that first sensitive step into community? And I think there are a couple of answers to that. Number one, I believe it's because somewhere along the way we got programmed by the world to believe that needing other people shows weakness. Shows weakness. So we think, gosh, if I'm going to take that step, it's going to show that I'm weak. And I thought, man, following the whole Genesis idea, in chapter 3 of Genesis, we see Adam and Eve are in the garden at the very beginning of creation, before the fall, before sin ever entered the equation, right? And Adam and Eve in chapter 3, they're naked. They're naked in the garden. Don't worry, we're not going to show any pictures, okay? But they're naked in the garden. And what a beautiful picture of two people who are in perfect community with God as God designed it and created it to be, who are totally naked, but yet there's no self-consciousness that's come between them and God and them and each other. There's no sin. There's no awkwardness in this community at the very beginning because God created it to be perfect, but that utopia lasted all but maybe 22 verses in Genesis. And then because of the fall, because of sin, enters into the equation. And since that time, community has been messy, difficult, frustrating, even awkward. But here's the deal. Here's the reality. This is kind of a twist, kind of cool. God created us to be in the kind of community that Adam and Eve were in community with God in the garden before the fall. But did you know community and its value to our lives actually increases exponentially on this side of the fall? We needed it before because God created us for it, but since the fall, because of sin, we need it even more. We need a community of people to support, encourage, lovingly care for us when we're in time of need. But because of sin, we need community even more possibly than we did before. It's the people that we're surrounded by that God uses to make us into who he wants us to be. Listen, God drops us into community, puts people in our life because he's crafting and molding and making us into who he wants us to become. And if we're not in community, it's hard for us to become who God designed and created us to be. You know, I want to address a couple of the reasons why I think that we avoid connecting community. And I want to challenge you to fight the urge to sort of use these excuses in your life, okay? And by the way, I'm not, these excuses aren't me talking at you. This is me confronting the excuses I make sometimes about avoiding community. The first one is this: I'm afraid that it might be awkward. Well, I want to challenge you to embrace the awkwardness, because getting in community is worth it. Embrace the awkwardness, because on the other side of that initial awkward step sometimes into community is a very beautiful thing that will help you become who God created you to be. But in order to get there, you have to be willing to embrace the awkwardness. Do you remember your first date? Especially your first date if you're married with the man or woman that you're married to. I remember mine. Kind of awkward. Just that first date. My wife's great. She's wonderful. I think I'm pretty great. Hopefully she thinks I'm wonderful. Got at least one person fooled in the world. But it's kind of awkward. But here's the deal. Thank God you didn't let your fear of an awkward moment keep you from going on that first date. Amen? Because you fell head over heels in love and it changed your life. Because you decided to risk the awkward moment. The next thing, I think we're afraid of what people will think when they get to know who we really are on a deeper level. It's like, there's the me I want you to see, and there's the me behind that, who I really am. And community can be intimidating for that reason. I'm not sure I want you to see who I am. We like a certain buffer between who we are, really, and who we project that we are. Well, I want to challenge you, embrace the vulnerability. Embrace the vulnerability. Every once in a while, someone will come to me and say, Jeremiah, you know, our home group, it's just not clicking. It's not working. Maybe it's a bad, you know, it's not all the right people. You know, we don't have the chemistry is not good. I don't know. Can you help me? What is it? They'll say, our table at men's fraternity, it's not clicking. You know what I've found is usually the cause of that? It's a lack of vulnerability in the group. Now, the question is, well, what do I do if there's a lack of vulnerability? And the answer is, you embrace vulnerability yourself. You lead with it. And then other people will become comfortable with vulnerability. I like the way author Brené Brown put it. This is a great quote. Brené Brown said, vulnerability is about showing up and being seen. It's tough to do that when we're terrified about what people might see or think. Here's the deal. You have to embrace vulnerability, knowing that on the other side of vulnerability is this incredible, life-changing, powerful community that God wants to use in your life to make you exactly who he wants you to be. You cannot remain guarded and closed off because you're afraid of what people might think, expecting everyone else to open up. You have to embrace vulnerability yourself. Finally, the last thing, I don't think we perceive or we think that we really need anyone else in our lives. But here's the deal. You've got to embrace community for someone else. Sometimes you have to embrace community for someone else. You see, it's a very selfish mindset to say, well, you know, I've got all the community I need in my life. I've been guilty of thinking about myself. Listen, my wife is wonderful. Tessa, she's great. We have three girls. We have kind of everything we need in our little community as a family. In fact, we're booked solid as a schedule. We're overbooked. No, we're overcooked. We've got so much going on. How could we fit any more community into our lives anyway? Tyler likes to call that the us four and no more mentality toward a community. I think he's right. We get caught in this trap, and I want to caution you to fight the urge to operate from a consumer mindset when it comes to your relationships. You don't want to be the kind of person who you pick and choose your relationships based on what you get from them. And that's what that mentality, us four and no more, just our little collection, our group of people, leads you down a road of picking and choosing relationships based on what you can get from them. turning them into a business transaction. Community can't be about just what I get from this. Sometimes it's got to be about the gift of sharing community with others. Community isn't really community if you never lean into it without it being about you. Sometimes the best reason to embrace community is because you're doing it for someone else and you've experienced the power of community and you're saying, listen, community changed my life. It can change yours too. So I'm going to lean in to community and I'm going to do this for someone else. Today we're going to look at three ways in which community is the gift that keeps on giving. God uses community to do these three things, I believe. Number one, to change your life, then to change your family, and then to change those around you. You know, we have this men's group called Men's Fraternity. It meets in here on Wednesday mornings, 6 to 7 a.m. right here in this room around tables. You don't have to sign up. You just show up. We'll have coffee and light breakfast waiting for you. It's a ton of men. It starts September 12th. That's a week and a half away. So you just show up here, okay? And here's the deal. I was talking to this guy named Dave Allen, who was telling me his story about how he got connected into community at CBC. And his story was so compelling, I thought, rather than me tell his story, why don't we just let him share his story?
So about 2 years ago, I was kind of in this place in my life. I had just changed my career from about 10 years and was starting a new business. And I was at this point where I was looking for other Christian men to be able to connect with. We're very involved in our local community, but I was finding that a lot of those relationships were just very, very surface relationships. You know, we talk about the same things. We would talk about, you know, what was going on with our kids. We talked about what was going on in our businesses. We talked about what was going on in the, you know, with our families, but there was never any real conversations that were about, you know, how's your marriage? You know, what are the real challenges that you're having? I've got four kids now, you know, I've got three girls, right? I mean, that presents its own challenges. And I needed somebody to be able to bounce real issues off of and be able to get feedback that was more than just surface level feedback. It was something that was deeper. And I think that came from an innate understanding of sharing the same faith as somebody, wherever they were in their walk with the Lord. It really didn't matter because we had a core principle that we shared together. So fast forward, we're out to dinner with a couple of really good friends, and kind of late into the evening, one of my buddies tells me that he's been going to this men's group that meets at 6 a.m. on Wednesday mornings, and he was getting a lot out of it. So after giving him a hard time of why he hadn't invited me yet, we made sure that by the time that dinner finished that I was going with him. The impact that it's had on my life has been really tremendous. I found exactly what I was looking for, which was people that could help keep me accountable, help give me some guidance that that I could rely on and that they could rely on me in times when they needed it. And the impact that it had on me personally, the way that I felt like I was growing from it, the way that I was able to then lead my business over the last couple of years has just been tremendous, and really feel like the blessings have just poured into my life since that point.
Awesome. Listen, God does his best work in our lives when we're willing to take just one step into community. And Dave took that one step because he knew something's missing in my life, and that thing that's missing is community with other believers. Now, you notice Dave's buddy, he just kind of cracked the door open a little bit, and then Dave forced his way the rest of the way in. And he started coming to Men's Fraternity. And this message is not this is not the point of this message. It's not about this, but I can't pass up an opportunity like that to ask, listen, who is it that God is stirring in your heart to invite into community? Because Dave's buddy invited him, and you just heard how God used it to change his life. Why? Because God uses community to change your life. God uses community to change your life. And if you'll just take one small step into community, God can do incredible things in your life, but you have to be willing to take that first step in order to experience that life change. You know, I was reading recently the story of when Jesus called Levi the tax collector, to follow him. Now, Levi was his name, but when he starts following Jesus, he takes his Greek name, which is Matthew, and he becomes one of the 12 disciples that we know as Matthew. Let's look at the story in Mark chapter 2. It says, as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Now, you think people today hate the IRS? In Jesus' day, people absolutely abhorred tax collectors. They hated them. The Jews looked at a Jewish guy like Levi, who was a tax collector, and said, you traitor, you betray your own people in order to collect taxes. And everyone else hated tax collectors because they were rotten and they stole money. They cheated people. They were greedy and they were wealthy, but the cost of their greed and wealth was total isolation. They were cut off from community. But do you notice what Jesus does when he walks by a guy who's been cut off from community? He just says, Levi, come follow me. And then he nudges Levi immediately into community with his disciples, with other people. He pulls him in. Why? Because God chooses to change your life through the power of community. And Levi's life was changed so much so he became one of the disciples because of the power of community in his life. And you know, the most religious people in Jesus' day, they actually hated Jesus because of the way he was always inviting guys like Levi and Zacchaeus and the woman caught in adultery. He was just saying to them, come on, come join me in community with other believers. And they hated him for that. And I think this poses a difficult question for us as a community too. What kind of community are we going to be as a church? How are we going to react and respond when we come across the Levites of the world? Because Jesus just said, come join us in community. Are we going to be that kind of community that believes God uses community to change lives and invite people into this community? Here's the deal. Life change rarely happens outside of community. God could have snatched you up and put you on an island and then came to you on that island by yourself and said, I'm God for real, and you would be convinced. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he just keeps nudging us toward community in our lives because God works through community to change who we are. He wants to be in relationship with us, and he wants us to experience our relationship with him through relationships with other people. Jesus did not need the disciples. Isn't that interesting? Jesus, Son of God, could have come to earth and accomplished everything he set out to accomplish without the disciples, but a part of his plan, a key part of his plan, mind you, was to come to earth and get into community with a ragtag bunch of followers, and then to mobilize them to do incredible things, to start the community of God, the church, which has been rippling out since that time, the gift that keeps on giving. You know, like a week and a half ago, I'm in my office, and all of a sudden, this guy shows up at our office. His name's Mike. And Mike, just going through something in his life, we start talking. That's Mike, 70-year-old guy, Mike. He ends up giving his life to Jesus Christ in my office. But can I tell you, he literally started crying. He had tears because he was so excited about this one small step into community with other people. It's never too late to take the first step into community. Take it wherever you are, whatever place you're at in life. Okay, so we heard from Dave saying, hey, I knew I needed it. I stepped into community. It really impacted my life because God used community to change lives. But if you really want to know what happens in a man's life, what do? You go to his wife and you ask her, what was he like? He said it changed his life. What was he really like? So we reached out to Dave's wife, Lauren, and said, Lauren, tell us about Dave after he got connected in community.
I am Lauren Allen, and I am David's wife. I remember having a conversation with him just a couple months into him starting at Men's Fraternity, where I felt almost like left behind. Like he was so encouraged, and his faith was growing so much. And for the first time, I felt like I didn't I wanted that for myself. I wanted what I saw in him. And I remember having that conversation with him, how excited I was for him, but also feeling like I want to get there too. The change that I saw in him by going to men's fraternity that had started with his faith being so strong, he just lifted us all up as a family. And he would constantly just send me Bible verses that he came across to support and encourage me. I saw a change in the way that he interacted with our kids, just being very loving and encouraging to them. He's just become more patient and just has this sense that everything is going to be okay. And when I start to worry, he just is so comforting in that way, because I think his faith is stronger than it's ever been before. It's just been so incredible, not just for him and the change I've seen in him, but how it's affected the rest of us.
It's the ripple effect of community. God uses community to change your life, and he uses community to change your family. I don't think Dave had even an inkling of the idea that his step into community in men's fraternity was going to lead to a dramatic impact, not just in his life, but in the life of his family. You've probably heard of the butterfly effect before. A butterfly, tiny little butterfly, flaps its wings halfway around the world, and by the time it reaches us, it's a hurricane. I'm not sure how that holds up in the scientific community, but for the purposes of the illustration of community, it's an excellent illustration. Because that's what happens. That one small step begins to grow and to ripple its way out. And it doesn't stop at you being changed by community. It actually ripples into your family. And it'll change your family's life. Pastor and author of parenting, the book Parenting Beyond Your Capacity, Carrie Newhoff said this about community and raising children in community. He said, every child needs at least five adult influences outside of parents, encouraging them to be godly kids, teenagers, and adults. It really does take a village. It takes a village. You got to get other adults involved in your child's life. They're going to encourage them to grow in Christ. In fact, I challenge you. You should be asking yourself this question. Who are the people in our community as a family who I could look at and say to them, hey, I'm banking on the fact that you are going to encourage and love my child in Christ as if they were your own? And if you don't have a list of five, you got some work to do. Now, here's the thing. This is especially important in the life of your teenager. Now, I have three little girls. They're 7, 5, and 2. And can I tell you, I pray really hard about when they're teenagers. And my prayer centers around, God, I hope they'll feel like they can come to me. And wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be beautiful? And then the question I have to ask myself in order to be honest is, did I tell my parents everything when I was a teenager? And if you answer yes, then that's one of us. Because I didn't, and they probably won't either. But here's the reality. If they have this community built into their life, they'll have a place they can tell an adult who loves them and who's going to speak and say and reflect the values and the concerns I have as a parent. Listen, you're probably wondering, well, what does that look like? It looks like you connecting with other people that you really trust and saying, step into our lives as a family and into the lives of our children. And it's an intentional thing. It's not an accidental thing. It's actually intentional. I think it's so important also to realize you can't change someone else. You can't change your high school daughter. You can't change your dad. You can't change your husband, for sure. You can't change your wife. You can't change your grandparent. You can't change your friend. But here's the deal. I believe we see in Scripture that, and Paul talks about the power it is of seeing someone else go through life change and what the impact is on the people seeing that life change. Let's read what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Look at that. That's what happens when you get in community. You become a new person. Dave wasn't the same person. We heard it from Lauren. He changed. He became a different person. we pick up, we continue reading in verse 18. It says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us in community the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Look, God changes our lives through the power of community, and then he uses the power of community in order to reconcile our families to himself, in order to reconcile other people to himself. Pick up what he says in verse 20. He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We are his ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. God's saying, look at what happens when people live in community with me and with one another. I change their lives. They become different people. It's a powerful thing in their lives. You know, I recently saw an interview of Lee and Leslie Strobel. So Lee Strobel, former award-winning editor of the Chicago Tribune. His wife, Leslie, actually became a Christian 2 years before he did. And so Leslie became a Christian. He said, those 2 years were really hard because I would bring up Jesus and Christianity and the church to my husband, and he would get angry with me, and he would start to challenge me and ask me questions I didn't know the answer to. I was pretty new to this whole faith thing. She couldn't even bring it up. But she said something in an interview that jumped out to me. She said this: what I did find out over time is that the best way to reach Lee, the best way to reach my husband, was to continue to let God grow me. Oh. Because Leslie Strobel took a step into community in a local church, God changed her life. And because Leslie Strobel became a Christian, 2 years later, Lee Strobel became a Christian. And Lee Strobel ended up writing over 20 bestsellers, some of the best apologetic books we have today, The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, The Case for the Real Jesus. The list goes on and on. He's an incredible man of faith. All because his wife said I couldn't talk to him about it. I had to keep growing in my faith. And eventually that rippled out. And my husband came to Christ and it changed his life. You know, I'm living proof that God uses community to change lives, to change families. My dad, when I was in middle school, I grew up in a Christian home. We went to church often. But something happened when I was in middle school. My dad got connected. He took a step into community. It radically changed his life. He became a different person. And the ripple effect of that small step is still echoing today in the lives of my family. I don't know if I would be where I am today or be the man I am today if it weren't for my dad's small step into community for the first time. Okay, so we've heard from Dave about how God used community to change his life. We heard from Lauren, Dave's wife, about this is what I saw happening in Dave, and this is how it's impacted our family. And now we're going to hear from Dave just saying, hey, I had no idea what that one step was really going to mean. But here's what he says happens when you take that one step in a community.
So 2 years in and looking back now, of what's happened beyond myself. I went into men's fraternity looking for myself, looking to create more friendships, and the impact now that I've seen it have on my broader family has just been amazing. About a year into it when I was there, my dad was going through this forced retirement. He was having to retire sooner than he expected, and I just immediately said to him, hey, you gotta come check out men's fraternity. And he got in, he got plugged in. I could see his faith growing. Next thing I know, my parents are coming to church every Sunday with us. My kids are loving that. My in-laws are coming. They became members, so now they're both here. My brother, who hadn't been going to church for the last decade, all of a sudden he's there. My other brother and his wife, they've got a new baby. They're streaming it live on Facebook. And so all of a sudden now, I can see this impact and look back over, you know, a decision that I made at a dinner with a buddy over a glass of wine to come and do something for myself now has impacted about 10 people in my family, and it's just amazing to see, you know, one decision for myself and how it's impacted a lot of people around me. And it's just really created that community that we were looking for.
Man, God uses community to change your life, to change your family, and to change those around you. I don't think Dave had any idea what the ripple effect of that first step in a community meant for so many people around him. Sometimes, you have to lean into community, knowing that God uses community to change the lives of the people around you. You know, God does his best work in our lives and the lives of those around us when we're willing to take that step. If you truly have the gift of community in your life, is there any reason you wouldn't want to share that with someone else? Of course you want to share it with someone else. Listen, I want you to know, I think the ultimate picture of the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is most clearly portrayed through community. And I think Jesus actually believes that too. It says this in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. It says, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." You notice what Jesus didn't say? He didn't say, if you love people out there, the unchurched people that don't know, then the world will know you're my disciples. He didn't say, if you read the Bible a lot every day, or if you memorize scripture, then the world will know that you're my disciples. He didn't say, based on your tithe check, they'll know you're my disciples. He didn't say, based on how often you serve, on your attendance record at church. What did he say? He said, the world will know you're my disciples because you love one another in community. We are the community of God. We're the church. And what the world is not used to seeing is people who really do love each other in community. That's when people go, listen, I'm not sure about the apologetics. I'm not sure I understand all the elements, but what I cannot deny is that these people love each other. There must be a God. These people really love each other. Listen, this church is a place where every family, every person can find a community that will encourage you so you can thrive spiritually. You know, the community here is part of the reason I believe God brought me and my family to CPC. I'm so thrilled. Our kids, three wonderful girls, they're all connected in community at CPC Kids, and they love it. They're always talking about Jesus, not in an awkward way, but they love it. It's impacted their life. It's made a deep impression, a deep impact. My oldest daughter is at the school here at CBC, the San Ramon Valley Christian Academy. She loves it. It's an encouraging community for her. Our middle one's in the preschool here, loves it. Super encouraging community for her. It's impacted our family. My wife Tessa is a part of an IF group. She starts meeting with these women, and it's been an incredible community for her. By the way, they're actually reaching other people through their community. It's really cool. I love men's fraternity. It's been an impactful community in my life. I've been encouraged by it. Listen, all of our hopes and dreams as a family are right here at CPC because of the community that exists here. And we're so grateful to raise our children in this church, knowing they have a chance at having the kind of community we want for them and even more God wants for them. Listen, I love all of you. I do. I love you. You are the community that I want to be a part of. Here's the thing. I'm not perfect. But you're not perfect either, okay? But that's what community really is. It's imperfect people loving and living in relationships with other imperfect people. And through that, the world can see the perfect love and grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ through his community. It's a beautiful picture of the gospel I want to close in prayer, but before I do that, I want to encourage you with this. Community is the gift that keeps on giving, but in order to experience it, you have to take the step into community for the first time. Would you pray with me as we close?